This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So, America, please open your truth book, your King James Bibles, to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, where we left off last time. John, chapter 8, verse 12. Just before we begin, I would like to invite everybody to come to my school for some beautiful programs in Christmas time coming up, December 21st, 6:30 p.m. for our family Christmas program. We're going to have all kinds of good things, costumes, and I'll lead an old-fashioned good old Christmas carolong, and we're going to have prophets and angels and little drummer girls, and our own Scott Mercer is going to do a 30-minute Wings and Things video, and we're going to have refreshments. That's Wednesday, December 21st at 6:30 p.m., but that's not all. On Sunday, which is Christmas Day, finish off your Christmas. Have your dinner early and come to my school at 5 p.m. I'm going to have communion, and I'm going to teach a chapter, verse, and line of teaching of the Word. And then I'm going to open up the holy bench, and we're inviting everybody in Brevard County who's sick to come. I want the sick people in wheelchairs lined up out here to the stoplight. And Scott's going to get on one side of the bench, and I'm going to get on the other. We're going to lay hands on the sick, and the Lord still heals. So what a great time to get healed on Christmas Day. All right, God bless you. Now, for John 8, verse 12. Last week when we left off, the phony church leaders called the Kenites, sitting in the seat of Moses, tried to trick Jesus. They brought a woman they had found in adultery, but I am sure they set her up because they didn't bring the man. I bet he took a bribe. And they threw her in the midst there and said, all right, Jesus, you're so compassionate. Deuteronomy 22 says, if a woman be found or a man in adultery, you must stone them. What say you, Jesus? Well, Jesus wrote on the ground, Numbers chapter 5, and it says, if the woman is a married wife, you do not have to stone her, only a betrothed virgin. The word woman there in the Greek, when they brought the woman to Jesus, that word meant a married wife. So, then Jesus listed all of their little sins, and those men tucked their tails between their legs like a dog, like those demons that flee out of here sometimes, and away they went. And Jesus and the woman were standing alone, and the woman called Jesus Lord. She got saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so Jesus had just told her, don't sin anymore. So we pick it up there. We have Jesus and the woman who just got saved.
Well, then spake Jesus again to the woman and said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
Now Jesus did something as an example for us. When you lead a soul to Jesus and you win them and you pray with them, don't leave them there. Get them into the Word of God. See, Jesus is the light, but we learned in John 1:1, Jesus is the Word. So he says, follow me and you won't walk in darkness. You see, God's Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. One of the reasons we stumble is we get out of the Word, or we listen to Mrs. So-and-so, or Brother So-and-so, or this philosopher, or this person. The Word of God has every answer for everything. It's all right there. It's amazing that we have God's love letter with everything we need, from the cradle to the grave to all eternity, and yet we look to other places. So walk in the Word, and you won't go into darkness anymore, says Jesus. Same thing to you.
13. The Pharisees therefore said of
the phony church leaders,
thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true.
You're just bragging on yourself, Jesus. You're a liar. Can you imagine? There is truth himself and the phony church leaders, and he had made their livers. And they're calling him a liar. Wow.
14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, what my
I'm telling you about myself, but I'm telling you the truth. You know, Christian, it's all right to know who you are in Christ. Sometimes you just have to stand up and assert your authority in Jesus, especially when the devil's pummeling you. Stand up and speak up like we just did before this broadcast. Say, we have to remind ourselves that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Well, I know whence I came and whither I go.
I know who I am.
But you cannot tell whence I come or whither I go.
You have no idea who I am, says Jesus to the phony church leaders.
15. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man.
Now, in other words, I'm not judging you right now, is what he's about to say, because he's about to say, but I'm going to judge you later. In other words, you're looking at me, a flesh body, and that's what you see. And you think I'm Joseph the carpenter's son, but you don't understand that I am the great I am. I am Aya Asha Aya. I am that I will become. I am the eternal being, and I'm clothing myself in a flesh body. See, you look after the natural, but I am from above, the supernatural. Do you understand? This natural, this physical, this isn't you. You are so much more than a mortal being. You have eternal life in you.
16. And yet, if I judge...
Now, in other words, if you don't get converted at the great white throne judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to be judged, and then you'll walk into the lake of fire. When I judge you, I'll be fair.
My judgment is truth.
Fair.
For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me.
I love this about Jesus. Jesus is descended in the flesh through Mary's father, Heli, of King David, who is the tribe of Judah. And David is the stem of Jesse. And David would say, I would encourage myself. David was always in trouble, and nobody encouraged him. His own people turned on him. And I'm telling you the truth, sometimes nobody comes to our rescue and encourages. It's hard. So David said, I will encourage myself. You want to learn to do this. I have to do this myself, or I'd go insane with the trials that I have. I encourage myself. I just get that scripture out and speak it over me. And it's hard. Your heart's broken, but you just do it. And so Jesus is doing this. He knows he's about to be crucified. He came to die, so he's going to do it willingly. But he's encouraging himself to know that the Father is with me. The Father will never leave me, and the Father will never forsake me. And the Father will never leave you, and the Father will never forsake you.
17. It is also written in your law.
Now, actually, the law means the word. Jesus wrote the word, but he's saying you're supposed to know the word, you phony church leaders.
Now, the testimony of two men is true.
In other words, the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter's established.
Keen, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me.
All right, see, I'm complying with your law, which Jesus wrote. In other words, I'm the first witness that I'm the light of the world, and my Father is the second witness. Now, do you understand that, you phony church leaders? Of course they don't.
Keen, then said they unto him, who is thy Father?
In other words, look at you, Jesus. You're the son of that carpenter, Joseph, who got with Mary before they got married. Don't you know that Jesus carried that stigma with him? They did not know that that was an immaculate conception, that the Holy Spirit overcame Mary, and that Jesus is the Son of God.
Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father.
You have no idea who I am, you phony church leaders.
If you had known me, you would have known my Father.
Jesus says, my sheep know me. My sheep hear my voice, and no other voice will they hear. You know, I've learned that. And when people come and they say, oh, I've come to hear the word, and they don't come back for the word, they went out from us because they're not of us. God's true elect know when it's the word, and they run for that word because they want that voice.
Verse 20. Both words spake Jesus in the treasury.
Now, the reason he says in the treasury, in other gospels it says there, when Jesus went into the temple, the phony church leaders were making money there. They were supposed to sell at a bargain pure doves and pure animals for the sacrifice. Jesus had not yet become the Passover lamb. And instead, though, they would buy old diseased animals and mite-infested doves and sell them at a profit to the people and making merchandise. So Jesus got so upset, he turned the tables over, turned those coins out, took a cat of nine tails and beat them all on the back. Winning friends and influencing people.
He taught in the temple, no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come.
God has his day planner's appointment book. It was not quite time for Jesus to be crucified. At the appointed time, he would, and he did. God has a book on you. Everything about you is written in that book. There are appointments, divine appointments God has for you. If you will not waver, if you will stand steady, endure to the end, in season and out of season, in the good times and the bad times, no matter what comes your way, if you will endure to the end, you will fulfill your destiny, your purpose, your being for the glory of God at the appointed time. At the end, it shall come. Wait for it.
21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins.
In other words, I'm about to go to the cross. You phony church leaders, you phony, Rush Limbaugh says, phony baloney, plastic banana, good time rock and rollers. Rush Limbaugh. And that's what they were. He says, I'm about to be crucified and you don't believe on me, so you're not going to be able to come to the good side of the gulf back to Father's house with me.
Whither I go, ye cannot come. 22, then said the Jews,
now, this is Eudas, the word is no such word as Jew, either our beloved brother Judah, who's one of the 12 tribes, like I am one of the 12 tribes, or it's the fake ones. These are the fake ones, the Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, Cain the child of the devil, as Jesus is about to teach us. John chapter 8, Jesus himself defines the Kenites. Now you'll know why I say it all the time. Jesus says in Revelation 2:9 and Revelation 3:9, the only two type churches at the end that please Jesus are those who tell you who those are, who say they're Jews and are not, the synagogue of Satan. And I just told you they're the Kenites. I don't know about you, but I want to please Jesus.
Will he kill himself?
Look at them. Is he going to commit suicide? Duh.
As he says, whether I go, ye cannot come. 23, and he said unto them, we are from beneath, I am from above.
He's saying to them, you are only thinking, you can only believe what you can see or touch or smell or hear. You have no idea what's going on. Right now, everybody on the sound of my voice and in this holy place, my school here, Bethel, right here, there are angelic beings. There are beings flying through the air. There's a heavenly host cheering because I just saw one right there. Hallelujah. I said it appeared. And all over the world, and there are angelic beings and there are activities going on. Oh, the kingdom is at hand. Oh, if you will ever get out of your foreign no more and your truck and your dog and your car and understand that heaven is here. Heaven is just bursting at the seams to be here on earth with us.
Amen. We are of this world. I am not of this world.
The word world, Greek, eon, age. You're of this age. In other words, remember there are three earth and heaven ages, 2 Peter 3:6. In other words, all you know is this. You think this one time in the flesh is all you're about. Jesus says, I'm not of this age. I am the eternal being. Now, you, Christian, you are sent here on a mission, the elect, that is. You are sent here on a mission. And Jesus says in John 17:17, Father, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. I do not pray you take them out of the world, but I ask that you would keep them from the tribulation and temptations of the world. Elect, Christian, you are of the eternal age.
24, I say therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins.
There's only one way and one name. His name is Jesus.
Verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou?
Who do you think you are, is what they're saying.
And Jesus said unto them, even the saying that I said unto you from the beginning.
What I told you, I'm the light of the world, church leaders.
26, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, When I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him, 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man.
When you phony baloney church leaders, Kenites, when you have crucified me, Jesus, on the cross, he says.
Then shall you know that I am him.
And when you see that I will arise from the dead, then you will know that I am the Messiah.
And I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things.
And see, these things that Jesus said and did are written in God's love letter. And God the Father taught Jesus. And Jesus tells us to teach others. So go and tell.
29, and he that sent me is with me.
Jesus again is about to go to the cross. You know, he is half human through Mary. Cross is not a good thing. It's painful. So what he does, like David, and what your leader here does, we learn to encourage ourselves when the cross is there, when there's no one to understand. We just encourage ourselves. He's reminding himself of Psalm 22, Jesus teaching on the cross, when it looks like, my God, why have you forsaken me? It looks this way. But Jesus remembers Psalm 22, verse 24, that says, but he, God, El, the Father, did not despise the affliction of the afflicted one, but when he cried, he, Jesus, the afflicted one, he, God, El, the Father, heard him, and he did not hide his face from him. It only looks like God deserted him. You feel deserted? We felt that yesterday, did we not? No, no, it only seemed that way. He is there all the time. The greatest challenge of living by faith is when there is no answer, there is no comfort, there is no relief, there is no supply, there is no healing. Can you endure and still believe? Hallelujah. Yes.
The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him.
Oh, Father, let us do always the things that please you.
30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. 31, then said Jesus unto those Jews that believed on him.
Now this Eudas can be our brother Judah, whom we love. They accepted him, and also the Kenites. The Kenites may be saved. They are harder because they have the DNA of their father. But so it could be both there that were saved.
If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed.
We're now in the fifth trump of Revelation, a time of learning. It's about to come to an end. Very soon the sixth trump will sound and the Antichrist will appear. He'll pretend to be God's Savior. And the whole world will go after him and half the body of Christ because five are foolish. But the very elect, 7,000, Romans 11, just a spiritual number, will not bow the knee to him. And in all of that, if you will keep your faith, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But some are going to fall off and cave in at the pressure. Don't cave. It's not worth it.
32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
What is truth? John 17, 17. Thy word is truth. You can be in chains, in prison. You can have all kinds of things happen to you. But when you know the truth of the mystery of God, the sacred secret of why God sent you through your mother's womb, there is a freedom in you because you realize this is not all. This is not it. You're just passing through this moment. There is an eternity, and you are in it.
33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed.
Now they're going to get defensive.
And are never in bondage to any man.
Now, see, they just told us they really aren't Abraham's seed, because if they were the true Abraham's seed, they would know that they had been in captivity in Egypt 400 years. See, they don't even know that.
How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?
Good.
34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto thee.
Of a truth, of a truth.
Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin.
When you get addicted to sin, sin makes you a slave.
35, and the servant of a slave abideth not in the house forever.
And see, Satan put mankind in, he had committed the original sin and captured everybody. And so sin cannot live in the presence of God. So you cannot go back to Father's house in sin, says Jesus.
But the Son abideth ever.
But Jesus is the Son. He lives forever.
36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed.
But see, you can be set free. I don't care what you're addicted to, heroin, cocaine, alcohol, cigarettes, pornography, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, greed, lying, whatever it is, that name of Jesus and the power of his blood can break those chains and set you free.
Oh, yeah.
And whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Oh, yeah.
37. I know that you're Abraham's seed.
I know you could be Abraham's seed, even though you're the devil's children. If you would repent, you'd be grafted in.
But you seek to kill me.
Wait a minute. You want to murder me. Abraham doesn't do that.
Because my word has no place in you.
Mm.
38. I speak that which I've seen of my father, and you do that which you have seen of your father.
There it is. The first father, uppercase, capital F, the true father of heaven and earth, our father. The other father, your father, a little f, lowercase. The anointing of Elijah on the two witnesses about which you are very soon to be aware tell you there are two fathers. Malachi chapter 4. Behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers. There are two fathers. There in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Tree has the Hebrew word artash, has a backbone spine, a central nervous system. The voice of the devil is the snake. Not a literal snake, but subtle and sneaky like that. Like this handmaiden of the Lord is speaking to you now, the word of God, and the voice you're hearing coming out of me is the voice of Jesus, which is the Holy Spirit. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil's voice was like a serpent. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, Satan beguiled Eve, Greek exopatio, wholly seduced. Cain was the forbidden fruit. Your father.
39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man who hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham.
I mean, Abraham didn't do and tell you this.
41. You do the deeds of your father.
Your father. Now, Jesus, this is not a parable. He's not talking about wheat and fish and trees now. All right, you phony church leaders, you've got a father. Jesus is going to tell you who he is. I want everybody to get this, because if you don't get this, you're never going to understand the mystery of God.
Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication.
See, at that time, everybody knew that fornication had happened in the garden, hanky-panky. See, it was not covered then. Everybody knew that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, artosh, backbone, spine, was a symbol of the devil, and the snake was the voice hissing and seducing. And so it was born of fornication. Satan beguiled Eve. Paul says that. Everybody knew it then. It has been stolen now because the enemy comes to steal the word. And so now when I tell everybody, says, I never heard of that. I know, but you need to hear about it. You've just heard it. Have mercy. Let's get back to the word and the truth.
We have one Father. He is God.
Now, they are defending themselves. By the way, Matthew 13, Jesus says that while good men slept, the enemy came and sowed the wicked seed. And the word sowed there is spermum. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And that would be the tares, a bit of like Zawan, the Kenites. So see, we have this verification all over the Bible.
42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Now became I of myself. But he he sent me.
God sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you can't hear my word.
Once I was praying for a minister, trying to get him to understand the mystery. And I just wasn't getting it. See, there are people that have the spirit of slumber. They can't hear. And many, many months after that, right in the middle of the night, God just spoke out loud and said, we'll call him Bill. That's not his name. Bill can't hear. And God was explaining, don't try anymore. The ears are closed. You know, the blindest person in the world is not one who cannot see physically. The blind person is the one who cannot see spiritually. The deaf person is the one who cannot hear the voice of God.
Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil.
There it is. Let's all say it. Ye are of your father the devil. Jesus just said it. Now that's it. It happened in the garden. So that's the final word.
And the lust of your father ye will do.
You notice he brought the word lust in there. It goes with fornication. When Eve told the devil, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, low down like a snake, she said, we're not even supposed to touch you. Touch in the Hebrew is naga. Want to say naga? All right, you said a Hebrew word, but it's not good. It means to lie, you know, and man and woman, okay? And said, we're not. But said, when Eve saw, oh, he's good to look at and desirable, lust. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life.
He was a murderer from the beginning.
Now, who was the first murderer? Cain.
He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him.
Truth and lie don't mix.
He speaketh a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Now, once in a while, even Christians tell a white lie. Sometimes we kind of change it just a little bit because we don't want to hurt someone's feelings, and we ask forgiveness. But one who is a congenital liar, like some politicians we know, I really am serious about this. You need to know, and it can be women. They are the Kenites. See, we just have so little teaching of this. If you would learn to recognize this, you would not vote wrong. You never vote for people because of a party. You vote because of the truth of God. If you knew this, we would not be in this mess in America.
Amen.
In other words, the father, the devil of those children are liars. And they lie with aplomb and like, how dare you not believe us? And then they lie and cover the other lie. And it's in their DNA. The truth is not in them. So beware. We'll begin right there next time. Were you blessed?
Yes. Very much.
Yes, let's clap our hands.
Amen.
But it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the sacred secret. I want to welcome my twin friend, man of God, scripture picture person, Scott Merson. Hello, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. That was a great word. That was a really good word.
Thank you. To God be the glory.
Yeah, amen. And it ends up and it ties in with our first question here.
Okay.
Our first question, does the wicked character of Ahab and Jezebel have any meaning for America?
Oh, yes. Yes, those two spirits of ruling us right now. Ahab's character is that of narcissism, only thinking of himself. And Jezebel is a lying spirit. She just lies and lies and lies. And in the Bible, these things happen to them for those of us at the end. Ahab and Jezebel took over property that was God's property. They went and got Naboth's vineyard, didn't they?
Yeah.
And so the leaders now are taking our sovereign land, America, which was born, was birthed to be, Jesus was to be our Lord in the Bible, the book. And so they have taken over the land. So yes, we have that right now. And so see, that's what Paul says. It's the same spirit they had in Jezebel that's destroyed America. However, Scott, Elijah came along, did he not?
That's right. We're waiting for that Elijah spirit, too.
We're waiting on
right
that.
Now, right?
You and I have that. We're going to beat him up, aren't we?
Yeah. And the unjust rulership of the inheritance that was stolen, too. That's what,
yes.
That's what we're seeing right now, too.
Right. The justice is going to be served like a ball, just a beating ball there. Yes.
Amen. Okay, our next question. Isaiah 18 says, the men are peeled. Are they skinned? Who are they? What does that mean?
Okay, the Isaiah 18 is a prophecy of the United States of America. It wasn't called that then. He was telling that there's going to be a country for my people Israel, the 10 tribes, not the 2 tribes of Judah. And he says it's a land flowing with milk and honey of many rivers, the Colorado, the Mississippi, the, you know, all of those. And it says where the men are tall and peeled. Peel means clean shaven. Tall and clean shaven like you, Scott. So yeah. That's America. See, that's in the yeah. Bible.
Like a Georgia peach.
Georgia peach.
Fuzz off the
peach. Fuzz there, you know.
Okay, our next question. Why does God refer to the elect as hidden ones?
Well, it's because we're in a battle, okay? We're in a battle between good and evil. The elect are the hidden ones. It's kind of a military strategy. When our country goes to war, the military has spies, and we're the hidden ones, covert activity, undercover agents. So the elect are sent out in every generation, the very elective in, and we're kind of hidden. And when we look meek and mild, like Clark Kent, you know, with our glasses on, right. And we're just really nice, but boy, can we understand. Understand what's going on, man. We can see it all. In a moment, it's just a twinkling, a spittle, and a dime. We understand it. So then we go into our phone booth and we twirl around on a dime and we turn into Superman and Superwoman. And by the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit, we zap the enemy.
Amen.
Yeah. So see, if we run around always big, every time I go to the supermarket, I'm Clark Kent in disguise because I hear somebody sneeze. I want to go over there and say, "Be healed in Jesus' name." But you know, you have to kind of be. You know, you can't always do that.
Yeah, and we see like our leaders now, they'll say, "We're coming in there in 3 months to get you."
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We're going to Mosul. We're going to attack Mosul in 4 months. All your leaders, pack your bags and get out so we won't kill you, enemy.
Right.
No, Lord have mercy.
Mercy.
Covert
okay.
activity.
And our last question. Who is the woman hidden in the wilderness in Revelation 12?
This would also be the very elect. Woman is a sight of symbol. It's not male or female. It's men and women of the elect who will not be deceived. The dragon going after the woman with a flood of lies is the Antichrist lying to her. The woman is the elect. The elect are going to be the only ones on planet Earth that will not worship the Antichrist. He's going to be so wonderful. He's going to act like Jesus. He's going to peace and safety cause craft to prosper. And since the church is teaching everybody to fly away, he's going to get his basket load, harvest his out of season, Zechariah 5. But you won't go. You're not going anywhere, but you'll be getting ready to because that's the devil. But the elect will be hidden. It means like a great eagle, like God, our great eagle, will cover us with his feathers and protect us. Not one hair of an elect's head shall be harmed unless we're the two witnesses. But that's good because they arise from the dead, so all's well that ends well.
Amen. And I like how he says also they will be strengthened by the face of their enemies.
Right? Strengthened,
yeah,
that's right.
Strengthened
that's
off of their enemy.
Absolutely.
Feed from their enemy, just like an eagle.
Kind of like you feed, like that one of your pictures there that you did in your presentation.
Yeah.
That the enemy actually feeds us.
Right, just like the honey from the carcass.
Honey from the carcass, that's right,
Amen.
Sam.
Thank
that's
you, Sam.
Right. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate you. God bless you. We're looking forward to your 30-minute film for the Christmas program. Now, if you're not saved, please pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
Lead me by your Holy Spirit.
And use me.
Use
to enlarge your kingdom. I love you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in a few minutes, my announcer is going to give you my number, and I'm praying for my telephone to work. So please call me and let me know that you were saved. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Precious Father, in the name of Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. I ask the virtue of Jesus will go into the very core and the marrow and the bones and relieve the pain. Stop the pain in the stomach and in the bladder and in the liver and in the pancreas and in the colon. Pain be gone. Jesus bore the pains. And let the vertebrae be perfectly aligned and heal the broken heart and pour in the oil and the wine and raise up the joy again. Let the joy rise up. Let dementia be gone in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet, be renewed by the renewing of your mind. He sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. And if you were healed there, I want you to call me on the telephone and tell me that too. And now it's time for your love line of the week, from my heart to your heart. You, Christian, have power within you over all the power of darkness Satan can ever send your way. When Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, devils and demons. Nothing shall by any means hurt you." That word power is Greek dunamis, dynamite power. You can use that. Let it out of your belly come forth and dispel the darkness that comes upon you. Jesus authorizes you this in his name, by his spirit, and by his blood. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I want to invite you to my school each Sunday, 5 p.m., and each Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Don't forget Christmas Family Program, December 21st, 6:30 p.m., and the great Sunday service, communion and healing and word, December 25th, 5 p.m. here at my school. Now, remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." I thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I feel your presence. Always feel free to call me if I can help you. And until next time, this is Sherry Medlock, and I say I love you, and stay in the Word, in Jesus' truth, with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
There is a river washes you clean. There is a tree that marks the places you've been. Blood that was spilled, although not your own, for all of your tears are the wages for things you've done. And all of those nights spent alone in the darkness of your mind. Give it up, let go. These are things you were never meant to shoulder. There is a river that washes you clean. turn in different ways. Most of the time we're simply hanging on. And under the signs of how we all behave, we might find the place where we belong.
Like a fur, there's hope to carry on. liberation. The God of our salvation set us free. Death, where is thy sting? The curse of sin is broken. The empty tomb stands open. Come and see. Christ the one and only, so powerful and holy, rescued me. Death won't hurt me now, because he has redeemed me. No grave will ever keep me from my King.
Listening to WMIE, Lavard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
the strongest wall will crumble and fall to a mighty God. For all those who have eyes and all those who have ears, it is only He who can reduce me to tears. So don't you cry, and don't you die, and all you burn. Like a thief in the night, you replace wrong with right when He returns. Narrow, and the gate is narrow that it passes through. He unleashed His power at an unknown hour, and no one knew. How long can I listen to the lies of prejudice? How long can I stay drunk on fear out in the wilderness? Can I cast it all aside, all this loyalty and pride? Will I ever learn that there'll be, no peace, that the world will never cease until He returns? Surrender your crown on this blood-stained ground. Take off your mask, 'cause it sees your deeds and it knows your needs even before you ask. How long can you falsify and deny what is real? How long can you hate yourself for the weakness you can see? Of every earthly plant that been known to man, He is unconcerned, 'cause He's got plans of His own to set up His throne when He returns.
Second chance, and I'm taking